الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: واعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين إحسانا وباليتامى والمساكين والجار ذي القربى والجار الجنب والصاحب بالجنب وابن السبيل وما ملكت أيمانكم، إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ليس المؤمن الذي يشبع وجاره جائع. بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم، ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Respected brothers in Islam, we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us this ni'mah in bounty of Iman. And over and above that, we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us the chance and the ability to read our Jumu'ah Salah without any restrictions on us. Many a time, we as Muslims, we know our duties to others in society, we know our duties as Muslims to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, we know we have to read our 5 times salah, we have to keep our roza, we have to perform hajj, we have to give zakah. We know our duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we also know our duties to our fellow brothers. We know we should be good to our parents, we should treat our neighbors in a particular manner, we should deal with our customers in a particular manner, we should deal with those under us in a particular manner. We know all this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has let all this, has made it clear for us in the Quran and Majid. And many a time, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself in many a hadith has mentioned to us the respect and etiquette and ways of dealing with others. However, we as Muslims, we fall short most of the time in not knowing our duties, but in practicing and acting upon what is made fard upon us, or wajib upon us, a sunnah upon us. It does not benefit in knowing everything but not doing anything. It's all about doing the action. Whatever knowledge we have, making amal and practicing upon that. And if we look into society and the Muslim Ummah at large, apart from the many challenges we are facing, two very important aspects which we seem to be lacking and slacking at is the rights to our parents and rights to our neighbors. These two aspects can bring upon destruction and calamity upon a community and can be a means of upliftment of the community as well. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and many of the authors of many books have mentioned the rights and ahadith and incidents of how important it is to look after these two rights. One is the rights of the parents, and one is the rights of the neighbors. Just recently, one of my colleagues from another country in Asia, Philippines, he studied with us, and he was mentioning to us an incident. We were just talking over the phone with a few of our friends who were, we were discussing some issues they had with some madrasas. So we were just discussing, and the story came about, and he mentions to us that there was a man in his 40s, and he passed away. In Philippines, he passed away of sudden death, he had a heart attack and he passed away. And a few days later, my colleague, he saw this man in a dream. And he saw this man and he asked this man, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with you? And this person told him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me Jannah. And this colleague used to mention to us that this man used to attend the masjid, but he wasn't regarded as religious in the community. He was actually regarded as a sinner. He used to dress very inappropriately. He used to mix with the wrong crowd. He had certain issues with, non-issues with people in general, but with himself in terms of drinking and etc. With certain issues, he had substance abuse. So in this dream, he was the imam of the masjid. He asked this person, I do not understand, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you Jannah, but we treated you in this manner? This is what we regarded you as. So this person mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me Jannah for two reasons. One is, I made khidmat of my parents, his mother in particular, and he had a reputation, although he was known to be a sinful person in the community and not a religious person. He had a reputation in the community that when there used to be a problem in the community, with regards to anything, security, with regards to giving out of food, helping others, helping his neighbors, he was the first at the scene. Always there, always putting himself forward. And his neighbors never had any issue with him. So he mentions for two reasons. One was khidmat of my parents, and one is I was always good to my neighbors. And from this, we understand that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he mentioned in a particular hadith, O Muslim, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it. Next time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said again, O you Muslims, you will not believe. And the third time, you will not believe. Three times, meaning you will not be a proper Muslim. And the Sahaba asked, what do you mean by this, O Rasulullah? He mentioned, you will not believe unless your neighbor is saved from your problems, from your evil. Another incident which just comes to mind is that of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, the great jurist. Imagine he was a person who was at that time around 100 years after Hijri, 150 years after Hijri. He was a person who was known across the world, across the Muslim world at that time, based in Iraq. He lived a very simple life. And he had a neighbor who, again, he had a neighbor who was a person who was involved in drinking and substance abuse. And this is a famous story. You can find it in many, many kutub. It's mentioned about when the biography of Imam Abu Hanifa is mentioned. And one day, the story appears that one day Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah ali returned from his lessons. He used to give lessons in a jami' masjid at that time, and he returned and he sees his neighbor is not at home. So his neighbor had a habit that whenever his neighbor used to go out, he used to mention to Imam Abu Hanifa that I'll be going for a few days, can you please look after my affairs, what needs to be done. And Imam Abu Hanifa used to accept. And one day passes, and 2 days pass, and the third day passes. And now Imam Abu Hanifa is worried, where is this person? So he makes inquiries, and he finds out that the relevant authorities in charge have jailed this person due to him being caught drinking. So Imam Abu Hanifa finds out, imagine Imam Abu Hanifa, for his neighbor, what a great personality. And his neighbor, known in society as a sinful and a person who everyone should look down upon. He finds out that his neighbor has been put in a jail on the outskirts of Iraq. He walks from his home. He goes all the way to the jail. Just when he enters the jail, he asks the person, he wants to know about this person. So this person is shocked. Who will come 3 days? No one came to find out of this person. Now you want to come find out? A new Imam Abu Hanifa, you finding out about this person? He says, no, I just want to find out about his well-being. If he needs anything. If he needs any food, any drink. And at that same time, Imam Abu Hanifa intercedes for this person on his behalf. And the authorities released him from jail. And this was a means of him becoming a scholar of his time. As they say, every saint has a past. And every every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. And many other incidences can be narrated, but we'll just mention a few hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he walked in, as we know, of the Ashab al-Suffa, those who were regarded as the poor Sahaba, and they used to be, in the terms, the students of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They used to sit in Medina on a raised platform, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to read to them a hadith, and they used to memorize this hadith. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala was one of these. And this hadith is narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, and where he mentions that once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked in, and he was beaming, he was smiling. And the Ashab al-Suffa, those Sahaba who were sitting there, asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why are you so happy today? So he mentioned, I had a dream the night before. And in this dream, I was shown that one of my followers, the angel of death, came to take out his soul in a bad condition. He came to take out his soul in a condition which it would be painful for him and very a form of punishment. However, all of a sudden this angel was told to go back and another angel to come and take out his soul peacefully. And the reason I was told for this was that this person was good to his neighbor. This person fulfilled the rights of his neighbor. Once Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, he only accepted Islam 8 years after Hijri. But there are countless narrations of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala where he was very enthusiastic for the gaining of knowledge. And he used to ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam questions on the spur of the moment. And at one time he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are the rights of my neighbors upon me? All of a sudden, he just asked. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was busy discussing it. All of a sudden, he just asked, why, what are the rights of the neighbors upon me? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to him 11 rights, 8 rights of the neighbor at that time. This hadith comes in Sunan ibn Majah, and it's a famous hadith, an excellent hadith for us to try and ensure that if our neighbor comes to us for any of these needs, we should try and assess the neighbor to the best of our ability. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the first right the neighbor has upon you is that you visit him when he is ill or whether he is not ill. The first right is that you visit him. You ensure you keep your contact with him. When we were doing this hadith in madrasa, in our final year, our ustad, Allah ta'ala give him a long life, he told us, a person should have such a connection with his neighbor that if he looks at his neighbor, just by looking at his neighbor, he should know whether his neighbor is in a good condition or a bad condition. What his neighbor requires and what he doesn't require. And obviously a person needs a certain amount of love and informal relationship with that person to be able to understand the needs and wants of that person. Allama Qasim Nanotwi Rahmatullah Ali, who we all know, is a famous story about him where he had a Hindu neighbor. And this story has made it rounds on social media sometime back. He had a Hindu neighbor. And obviously the houses were close together, and this Hindu neighbor used to sweep the outside of the house. He had a habit of sweeping it. And whenever Allama Qasim Nanotwi Rahmatullah Ali used to recite Quran, this Hindu neighbor had he used to listen to the Quran, and he used to say that this is definitely the truth, and I accept that this is the truth. And after he passed away, Allama Qasim Nanotwi Rahmatullah Ali had a dream that he heard this neighbor's footsteps in Jannah. He was baffled by this. The reason why? So after making inquiries, he found out from his family, from this neighbor's family, that every time you should recite Quran, this neighbor of yours used to say this is the truth. And on his deathbed, he mentioned, I believe in the one who sent down the Quran, in the one upon whom this Quran was sent. Meaning, Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala gave him Jannah for us. But if we think about the story, Allama Qasim Nanotwi Rahmatullah Alayhi had to obviously have a very informal and loving relationship with this person. Otherwise, if a person has a hard and difficult relationship with his neighbor, then by reciting the Quran and Majid and by showing good actions to the neighbor after having a difficult relationship, the neighbor is not going to accept. probably going to be difficult on you to accept. The neighbor is going to be probably stubborn that you treated me for so many years in this manner, and now all of a sudden you expect me to accept Islam, or you expect me to change my life, or you expect me to listen to your nasihat. So obviously he had to have a loving relationship with him. Anyway, the second right that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu is that if your neighbor passes away, or any person from his family passes away, you should attend the funeral. Should ensure that you attend the funeral. The third thing is that if your neighbor asks for financial assistance, you should either assist him financially, if you have the ability, assist him financially. The fourth right which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned is that you should conceal the errors and faults and sins of your neighbor. As long as these sins are not affecting the public as a whole, a person should conceal these sins. A person should not make these sins apparent to the public. And this was clear in the story of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, which we mentioned earlier. His neighbor was an alcoholic, a substance abuser. But he still ensured that he treated his neighbor in the correct manner. Never made the faults of his neighbor apparent to everyone. The fourth is that you should congratulate your neighbor whenever there is a time to congratulate him. For example, the neighbor's daughter, or the neighbor's son, or the neighbor's wife has a child, or has completed his schooling, or has completed his madrasa, or has completed his, for whatever reason, completed his hijj. We should be the first to congratulate. The sixth is that a person should be there to console his neighbor. Anytime his neighbor is going through any difficulty, or you have heard that your neighbor is going through any difficulty, you should be the first to console your neighbor. The seventh is that before doing any building upon your property, you should ask your neighbor whether it is appropriate for him. Not to build your house higher so that fresh air does not come to your neighbor, or sunlight does not come to your neighbor. To ensure that if you want to use the wall of your neighbor to knock in a peg. This is another hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an, where Abu Hurairah ta'ala an mentions that if your neighbor comes to you to ask to knock a peg into the wall which is separating yours, you should not refuse. And the last advice that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave is that a person should not inconvenience his neighbor with aromas of the food that he is cooking. And this is something which we all slack and lack at. Especially when we are living in close proximity. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ فَضَّلَ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ فِي الرِّزْقِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given more virtue to others over others with regards to sustenance. You might be in a condition where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you 3 meals a day, meat 7 times a day, the ability to have wonderful food 7 times a day. However, your neighbor might be in a condition that he can only afford 1 good meal a day, or 2 good meals a day. And we know of Maulana Yunus Patel rahmatullah alayh, many of you might have heard of him. The famous story of his is that he used to not allow people to have a barbecue in his yard, a braai in his yard. Why? Because the aroma of dead meat would go to his neighbors who maybe could not afford that. And that would result in what? In them having the wanting that which is happening in the next door person's yard. They might become jealous of that person, which might result in other actions. We should be very careful about this. Another important aspect we should know with regards to neighbors is that once Ali radiallahu ta'ala, when he became the Khalifa, he was on the minbar and a question was asked to him by one of those who were in the masjid, that what are the rights of the neighbor upon me? So he mentioned 3 rights. One is that if you have a non-Muslim neighbor, a Muslim neighbor, and a Muslim neighbor who is your relative. If you have a non-Muslim neighbor, he has 1 right upon you. Meaning, his right is not as that high of a Muslim neighbor. If you have a Muslim neighbor, he has 2 rights upon you. One is that he is your neighbor, and one is a Muslim. And if you have a Muslim neighbor who is your relative, then he has 3 rights upon you. One is that he is your Muslim brother, he is your neighbor, and he is your relative. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَشَبْ اللَّهُ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Do not ascribe partners to Allah. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا and be good to your parents. Show kindness to your parents. وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the neighbor which is closest to you. Mufassirin have mentioned many different meanings of this. So there's two meanings which I would like to discuss. The first is that one should ensure that the neighbor who is right next to the person on the right and the left, behind and in front, one house to the right, one house to the left, one house to the front, one house to the behind, they have the most right upon you. You should be prepared to fulfill the rights of this neighbor at any time, at any moment, no matter what you are doing. The second tafsir given for this is that 40 houses in every direction. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, who are my neighbors? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned 40 houses in every direction. 40 houses to the right, 40 houses to the left, 40 houses to the front, and 40 houses to the back. And Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, in another hadith mentioned, and many mufassirin and commentators of the Quran use this, where he has mentioned that every person who reads salah in the masjid where you read salah, they are your neighbor. They are the person who has the right upon you like that of your neighbor. So anyways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَالْجَارِ لِلْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ. That neighbor who is a stranger. Neighbor who is a stranger meaning a neighbor in your wider community is also regarded as your neighbor. For example, he lives a few kilometers away from you. He is also your neighbor. If you find out he has certain issues, you should be put ourselves forward and make sure that we try and help that person. وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَمْبِ. And that person who is by your side is exactly like your neighbor. And this is very important for us, especially all of us are in the working community, myself included, we all work. That person who you work with, that person who comes, for example, to your shop on a daily basis, he is regarded as the person who is by your side. For example, you're working and you have five staff with you. These staff would be regarded as sahibi bil jam. They have the same rights upon you like how your neighbor has the rights upon you. Only have 2 minutes remaining and we've only completed the rights of the neighbor. We also wanted to discuss the rights of the parents, but we'll keep it to the rights of the neighbor today. So just to recap what we done, what we discussed for all of us and for myself included, is that there are two rights which we as a community should ensure that we are fulfilling. One is the rights of parents and one is the rights of the neighbors. And these two rights and fulfilling of these two rights can be a means of us attaining Jannah. And the many stories which I gave, and one more hadith which comes to my mind is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, and we should not look at the condition of our neighbor. If our neighbor treats us in a terrible manner, we should ensure that we treat our neighbor in a good manner. And try to always be there for your neighbor, no matter the condition. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to treat us, treat our neighbors in the best way, and to keep a hadith in mind that إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ سُوَرِكُمْ وَأَجْسَامِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at a person's shape and a person's outward form. However, a person, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ سُوَرِكُمْ وَأَجْسَامِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the hearts of people and the actions of the people. When we are serving our neighbors, we should keep this in mind, whether they are of a certain color, of a certain race, of a certain religion. At the end of the day, they are still our neighbor and we should treat them in the best way possible. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتقوا الله ولو بشق تمرة وقال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد واعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين إحسانا وبذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين والجار ذي القربى والجار الجنب والصاحب بالجنب وابن السبيل وما ملكت أيمانكم إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس المؤمن الذي يشبع جاره الذي يشبع نفسه وجاره جائع وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بابان معجلان عقوبتهما في الدنيا البغي والعقوق الوالدين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الكبائر الإشراك بالله وعقوق الوالدين وقتل النفس واليمين الغموس بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه وأصدقهم حياء عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه، وأقضاهم علي رضي الله تعالى عنه، وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة رضي الله تعالى عنها، والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة رضي الله تعالى عنهما، وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضي الله تعالى عنه. اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا، رضوان الله تعالى عليهم وعن كل الصحابة أجمعين. الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، وخير الناس قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشائخنا ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم اصرف عنا هذا البلاء والوباء. اللهم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من سوء الجار. بارك الله بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. If the space is a bit tight on the left, you can come one step ahead and then can make more space. There's still some brothers waiting outside. Come on. I'm sure that I was so straight and we're standing shoulder to shoulder. الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله ولك الملك كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة الفردوس ونعوذ بالله من النار جزى الله عنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين
Thank you.